Okay, so we're up to the Vehisham now. Now that we mentioned that this whole idea that we went down to Egypt wasn't a coincidence. This was all Hashem's plan, and this was all part of the great covenant that we would be Hashem's chosen people. So we say, this covenant, the idea that Hashem promised, I'm going to take care of them, I won't let the Jewish people be annihilated, that's what stood by the Jewish people. Because it isn't just the Egyptians that have tried to annihilate us. There isn't just one enemy who has tried to annihilate us, but in every generation, they arise against us to annihilate us. And the only reason we manage is because Hashem saves us from their hands. This is, to me, the scariest part of the Haggadah. The idea that the story of Egypt is a recurring theme. And we're telling our children, you should know this is a part of life. And it doesn't skip a generation. It's just a question of where. But somewhere in the world, there are people trying to annihilate us. It wasn't the one generational thing with Hitler. There was the Inquisition. There was the... Every stage of Jewish history, there's a... You guys can review Jewish history. Someone put online. Every decade, he shows where Jews were being annihilated. Just our accounting of Jewish history. Pages upon pages. We think there was one Holocaust. Just start reviewing Jewish history. How many times in history you had towns arising and just on a blood libel, killing out the whole Jewish population in the town?
I was going to say, actually, you mentioned when we're talking about the 4/5 died in Mitzrayim, that's 80%. Only 33% died in the Holocaust. So this is even so much more.
Okay, so I purposely sing the traditional tune, although I personally love the new tune that's out there. But I think the whole idea of the Seder is tradition, and that's why I think it's important to save that new tune for a different time. But at the Seder, let's stick to the traditional tunes. Now, I don't have any tradition on how long we've been singing this tune. I don't know. But I know that I grew up with this tune on the Vehi Shamda, so I stick to the way I grew up. Tzei Ulmad, and Yeshukach to Yehuda for covering the matzahs on the Vehi Shamda, being that we're going to honor the wine. We honor the wine as we sing the Vehi Shamda. So we sing the song over a cup of wine, we cover the matzahs for that period, and then we uncover them again to continue our magid in front of the matzahs. As we said, the matzah is called Lechem Oni, for we say all these things in front of the matzah. Now, we're about to enter a section of the Haggadah that basically is built as follows. We quote a verse, and then we break down each word in that verse, and it's basically a medrash. It breaks down each word in the verse and explains how that word works. Well, what does that word teach us in the verse? So you have one verse, two verses, three verses, four verses. Four verses now that will take you each time. You read the verse, and then you break it down word by word and explain what that verse is teaching us. So the Haggadah continues and says, go learn what love on the Aramean wanted to do to Jacob, our forefather. We just said every generation has had their enemy who tried to annihilate the Jewish people. Well, it starts with the first Jew. It starts with Israel himself, Yaakov. Love on the Aramean. Go learn how he tried to annihilate Yaakov and his family. Pharaoh said, let me get rid of the Jewish males. So although his plan was for mass prostitution, but at the end of the day, if we have Jewish women, the Jewish people are continuing. Lavan wanted to uproot everything. The verse says, the Aramean wanted to destroy my father. And then, if that wasn't enough, he had to go down to Egypt, meaning he contended with his father-in-law, Lavan. And then after that, Yaakov had to go down to Egypt. He lived there, in Egypt, with few people, and there he became a great nation, great, mighty, and numerous. So the Pasuk describes how Lavan wanted to annihilate the Jewish people, and that was the first of our troubles. And then the second trouble was we had to go down to Egypt, and from there we became the great nation. Now we will take that pasuk that we just quoted, and we will analyze it verse by verse. Vayered Mitzrayim, it says he went down to Mitzrayim and usar pe'adibu. God forced him to go down. You want to know how we got to Egypt? No one wanted to go. Everyone loves Israel. But God said he has to go, so he had to go. Vayago sham, he sojourned there in Egypt. Don't think that Yaakov forsook Israel. It's not that we left Israel thinking, I'm going to a better place, Egypt. That's the Mesopotamia, Egypt. You know, that's the Florida, that's the California, that's the Switzerland, that's the Australia. You have the beaches, you have the wealth, you have the Hollywood. Yeah, you have all the filth of the world, but you also have the filthy rich of the world. No. The Pasuk tells us, Yaakov went down to Egypt, he didn't go down there to become a citizen. He wanted to remain a sojourner. They said to Pharaoh, they come in their first interview, they say, we don't need citizenship, we don't need a German passport. We want to remain visitors, we want to remain on the green card. The only reason we're here is for financial reasons, that there's nothing to give our sheep to eat. There's a famine going on. We have no choice. There's a heavy famine in Canaan. So let us please dwell in the land of Goshen. This is just a short-term thing. They didn't want to stick around. It says when Yaakov went down to Egypt, there were few in number. The Pasuk says they only numbered 70 when they went down. It says Moshe tells the Jewish people, now you're like the stars of the heaven, you're so numerous. In Egypt we became a great nation. This teaches us that the Jewish people were distinctive. They weren't like everyone else. They still spoke Ladino. They still spoke Yiddish. They still spoke Lashon HaKodesh. That was the holy tongue, right? Mm-hmm. So they still spoke Lashon HaKodesh. So they went down to Egypt, and they're still talking the Mameloshon. They're still talking Lashon HaKodesh. They're not calling their kids Jack, Jeff, Jerry, Mike, Christopher. They're calling their kids Kershom, Kehos, Mirari. They're distinctive. You know, they're calling their kid Hananya, which the Egyptians are Kananya. How do you say that, right? The Americans always say, how do you say all these Ha names the Jews have? Well, that's okay. We are supposed to be different. People say, I want to give my son a name they could all pronounce. Let me call him Mikey. No, don't call him Mikey. Call him Yechiel. Let them break their teeth a little bit. Let them know he's different. You're doing him a favor. He's not. He's not an American. He's a Jew. He belongs here. So they were mitzuyanim, they were distinctive, and they dressed differently. They didn't walk around in the immodest clothing of the Egyptians. You could tell a Jew. So when you guys look at those Hasidim and you wonder to yourself why they dress so funny, remember we also dressed funny. We did not adapt to the Egyptian culture. I'm not saying I don't dress like a Hasid either, but I'm just saying realize that there is what to be said for it. Atzum. There, Yaakov became an awesome nation. The verse says, the Jewish people flourished, they multiplied, they procreated, and they became very mighty. And the land was filled with them. They became numerous. God says, I made you numerous like the plants of the field. But you developed, you grew, you became charming, beautiful in figure. Shadaim nachonu usarech tzimech. Shadaim nachonu usarech tzimech. So literally that means that she developed as a woman. To children, we don't translate it literally, but the literal meaning is that she developed on her chest like a woman, and her hair grew the way a mature woman grows. Ve'aterom ve'riyah. But you were still naked and bare. Ve'avor alaych ve'erech mitposeset b'damayich. And I passed over you. They don't know. They don't really. This is the boring part of the Haggadah for kids. I'm adding the explanation, which you should add, which makes it interesting. Most people fly through this. They don't know what they're reading. I'm explaining it so that when you guys run your own Seder, you could understand it. Now, what's going on here? So what's going on here is, the Navi Yechezkel tells us the following story. And this is not for children. This I explain when there are adults at the table and not children listening. If there are children there, I don't go into this. Yeah, but you guys should know what we're talking about. We'll get back to you in a minute, Yosef. The Navi Yechezkel tells us the following story. So there was a baby girl born, and they didn't care about her. They left her out in the field. and she was wallowing in her blood, and she was going to die there. And he passes by and he picks her up and he takes care of her and he cuts her umbilical cord and he cleans her off from the amniotic fluid and the blood, and he takes her home and he bathes her and he gives her clothing and he brings her up, and finally she's a young woman and oh, she's matured. Look at her. Now she's a fine young woman. And the Navi describes, let's open a Yechezkel, this is in Ezekiel, what the Christians call the 16th chapter.
Originally we didn't have chapters, did
we? It's not a Jewish thing, the chapters in Ezekiel, it's a Christian thing, the chapters in Ezekiel. The prophet says, "Son of man, tell Jerusalem her filthy history. Tell them, so says God to Jerusalem. Remember when you were born, your fathers were Hittites, your fathers and your father and mother. And when you were born, no one cut your umbilical cord, no one washed you off, no one salted you, no one changed your diaper, no one wrapped you up, no one cared about you, no one thought you were worth doing anything for. And they threw you out in the field, filthy in blood, on that day you were born. And I passed over you, and I saw you wallowing in your blood. And I said to you, although you're there in your blood, you will live. And I said to you, in your blood you will live. Va'omar lach b'damayich chayi. Va'omar lach b'damayich chayi. There's a description, out in Egypt, who cared? What's a Jewish life? Just kill a Jew. Who cares? No one cared. No one was going to come to the rescue. God says, I'll take you out of there. And the blood is your lifeline. The blood of the Paschal offering. The blood of the circumcision. That's why we say this pasuk in a bris milah too. And then, I brought you home. You grew up. And then, I took good care of you and I said, let's make a covenant. Be my wife. I took care of you all these years. Let's get married. And I gave you beautiful oils. And I gave you beautiful clothing. Silk. And I gave you beautiful jewelry. And I gave you beautiful bracelets. And I gave you a beautiful necklace. And I gave you a beautiful nose ring. And I gave you beautiful earrings. And I gave you a beautiful crown. And you took all these beautiful clothing. You were so gorgeous. You were so successful. You were quite a queen. And everyone admired your beauty. Nations spoke about you. And you had confidence in your beauty. So you weren't faithful. And you went. And any man that would pass your door, you'd commit adultery with. You took those clothing that I gave you, and you used them for your adultery. You took the gorgeous ornaments I gave you, and you made of them figurines of males, so you could commit adultery with them too. It wasn't enough to commit adultery with every human you could find, you made yourself figurines to do it with. You took the beautiful clothing that I had embroidered for you, and you honored these men you committed adultery with those gifts I gave you, the bread I gave you, the flour, the oil, the honey, all the sweets I gave you, you gave them. What is Hashem describing? Hashem saying, I did everything for you, my Jewish people, and you took it all and served idols. You ignored all the blessings I gave you. You went, you took Jerusalem and made it into the filthiest city in the world. You made Jerusalem completely corrupt, murdered orphans, stole from widows. Hashem's describing what brought about the destruction of Yerushalayim, but Hashem takes us back to Jewish history, to the Exodus from Egypt. And he says, remember where you were. You had no future. You were a baby lying there wallowing in blood. No one would have taken care of you, you would have died. And that's where we were in Egypt. And that's what we're referring to over here. It says, we were numerous. So that's what the Navi Yechezkel describes, that I made you numerous like the plants. I let you grew. You came of figure, you came of age. And then he goes back, he's really rewinding to the previous pasuk, and he says, but remember when I passed over you, you were wallowing in blood, and I said the blood is your lifeline. The blood is your life. And when we say this, so we say it to Asiyeki's in a special tune. Va'omalach bidamayi chayi. Va'omalach bidamayi chayi.
Twice?
Yes. The pasuk says it twice, and we say it refers to the two bloods. The blood of the Paschal offering and the blood of the circumcision they did then. Okay, now we quote the next pasuk, and again we will break it down and explain the pasukim. Okay, so the pasuk says, and these pasukim are juxtaposed. Arami Oved Avi is pasuk one, and then the very next pasuk says, Vayireu Otanu HaMitzrim Vayinunu Vayitnu Aleinu Avoda Kasha. The Egyptians did evil to us. They afflicted us. They imposed hard labor upon us. So we break down this pasuk and we explain each part. The Egyptians did evil to us, like it says. The Egyptians said, let us deal with them wisely. Because if they multiply, when there'll be war, they will be enemies from within. And then they will leave the country. Vayanunu. They afflicted us. The They set taskmasters over us in order to oppress them. They built Pisom and Ramses, which were storage houses, storage cities, treasure cities for Pharaoh. They imposed hard labor on us. As the verse says, they subjugated the children of Israel to hard labor. Vanitzak. Now we quote the third pasuk, and we will quote the fourth pasuk. Vanitzak el Adonai Elohei Avoteinu Vayishma Adonai et koleinu vayartonyeinu vetamaleinu vetlachatzeinu. And we cried. We cried to Hashem, the God of our fathers. And Hashem heard our voice. He saw our affliction. He saw our burden and our oppression. And now we break down the pasuk again. Sentence by sentence we will explain. Vanitzak el Adonai Elohei Avoteinu. We wailed to Hashem. When did we wail to Hashem? Who remembers? When? Who remembers? Charoses. The couple with the baby. Chazal say that was the wail. The couple that sees their baby under their feet and they have no choice and they're standing there stepping on the mortar. Now this you don't say in front of children, obviously, but it's an important midrash. That was the call that caused Vayishma Hashem et Koleinu. And we learned this in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer online on mechonmeir.org and torahformeid.org, which you don't say at a regular Seder either. Back to the Agada. We called out to Hashem, Kmo Shnemar, the verse says, in those many days, the king of Egypt died, the children of Israel groaned because of the servitude, and they cried. Their cry was because of the servitude, and that rose up to Hashem from their work. Vayishma Hashem et kolenu, Hashem heard our voice, etc. And now we reach an interesting point in our Seder. Technically, in the real Seder, we keep reading and explaining. Practically, my sixth sense tells me that the number of yawns I'm seeing in the last 5 minutes is indicative of an impending end time to our Seder. So although I see some people shaking their heads, but they're blinking very hard, keeping their eyes open as they shake their heads and insist, no. Now, for the Seder, you will guys take good naps. You will come to the Seder refreshed. But for tonight...
Wow,
What? We have the charoset to wake us up. I'd rather you each just take a bite of the maror for a minute, and that'll wake you up a little bit. Okay, no. So we have to vote, meaning there are, every word here is important, but at the end of the day, there are some things which are more important than others. And if we're going to lose people in the course of the next hour and a half, if we're not going to run till 2 o'clock in the morning, then we should really start covering other things in the Seder. Although this is very important, there are other things that are more important. And we're going to have a hard enough time in 2 hours to cover it, let alone the way things are looking, where I only have an hour to an hour and a half.
Realistically, it's 12, 13 at night.
What?
Realistically, it's 12, 13 at night.
So I have a question. If we take a 10-minute break, let's stop our recordings.